One of the misconceptions in the world today is that a male and female, man and woman, husband and wife, we're all the same.
And yet we know that God created us very differently as man and woman, so that we might complement each other.
The Power of Synergism, Part 1.
Hello and welcome to today's lesson. We are Alvin and Patricia Guillory.
Hello.
From Lake Charles, Louisiana. We've been married 18 years. We've been affiliated with the Students One Ministry for the last 17 years. And we are delighted to come before you today to present the lesson on the power of synergy. In Ephesians 5, 22, 33, it reads like this in the King James Version. Mm-hmm. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Mm-hmm. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So the roles of husband and wife can be understood by observing Jesus and the church interaction. We must know that. Now we put aside the idea of the redemptive role of Jesus. We concentrate on Jesus' role as the bridegroom. Some roles are the same both for the husband and the wife. This lesson is to help you understand your role. Concentrate on God's plan for you. Trust that God will take care of changing your spouse. God has placed in us certain abilities. Responding to those abilities is called responsibility. So by crossing into the other's area is taking on the responsibility of the other spouse. If this has been done, repent and trust God to change your spouse and you.
The husband's role model is Jesus. The wife's is the church.
In this lesson, we're teaching that our spouse is priority. So we never sacrifice our primary relationship, which is with you, my love, for a secondary relationship, like children, your mother, your father, your friend, your boss, or any of those people. So even work ties sometimes can pull relationships apart because they're trying to satisfy the relationship with their boss at work. Even that, you have to limit how much time you spend even at work. And so that's the same as with Jesus and the church. Jesus covenant with her, the church. He loved and cared and nurtured her and eventually gave up his life for her. So when we look at this in Philippians 2:6-7, it said, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being.
Now, husbands, here are some examples of Jesus' relationship to his church. He reassures her of his love and loyalty. He forgives her. He serves her. He leads her. He's an example of God's heart. He gives her strength. He teaches her, he opposes sin, and he discerns spirit, and he has complete authority over spiritual darkness.
And so, church to Jesus loves him, honors him, esteems and respects. How about that? He caretaker of what he has provided, heals in the name of Jesus, forgives as has been forgiven, exhorts, comforts, does the will as the Spirit leads, serves, respects God-given authority, intercedes, take authority over spiritual darkness by the power of His name. We minister and nurture.
Did you know that your roles as husband and wife are based on the relationship of Jesus and the church? How does that change your understanding of their importance? Discuss this now. The Power of Synergism, Part 2.
And I want to start this evening with the number one reassuring covering. In Ephesians 5:25, which I read and is entirely earlier, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So we men as husbands need to be sensitive to our wife's needs, spirit, soul, and body. We ought to comfort her as the spirit directs, not as how you feel. I learned that. We need to minister from the word. So what that implies is that I need some word inside of me in order for me to minister to my wife from the word. And one very important point is to do not abdicate your protection of her or cause her to feel abandoned. This was an issue in our early walk in this ministry. We was having some intense fellowship and there was threats or words of leaving, I don't need to be here. And that really hurt my wife because she had the spirit of abandonment. And so by me sharing that or saying that, she felt that abandonment spirit coming on again. So I've learned, guys, that we ought to be sensitive to those our wife's needs, like I stated earlier.
And wives, we are the helpers. Yes, we are. In Genesis 2:18, well, let's just go there and see. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. And that's what I am, honey. I'm just right for you. So one of the things that we did when our son Jeremiah was really small, we were learning these lessons and understanding how a helper also means that we are to surround our husbands, you know, and help them get to where they need to be. And so my husband would come home from work, and Jeremiah being really small, when he would come up the stairs, we'd do a cheer and we'd go, Daddy, 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 Daddy. And it would just thrill his heart to hear us cheering him on. Because this role as helper is not a secondary role. It is very vital in our relationship. Being a helper means making available to our husband all the godly qualities that God has placed inside of us that will enable him to lead as God has directed and help him to develop into the godly man he is called to be.
These first two rules demonstrate God's plan for husband and wife to support each other.
And husbands, another one of our roles is as the leader. It says it's in 1 Corinthians 11:3. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So final leadership responsibility lies with us, husbands. We need to exercise or carry out our authority, our leadership role in love. This will bring strength and stability to the family. Mm-hmm. We ought to be the example of standing firm on God's word, regardless of the circumstances. We ought to know the enemy and resist his attacks against our families. Your family is not your enemy. We ought to receive godly counsel and wisdom from our wives. I remember early that there was this guy, a good friend, and my wife would come to me and share with me about a spirit that she detected or discerned that was on him. And I would immediately say, no, not him. I know him. We talk a lot. We share a lot. And so one thing led to another. And a few weeks later, I remember him coming to my home and sitting on my front porch and sharing with me about this lust spirit that he had. So I had an opportunity to minister to him. But the point is that my wife shared with me, she discerned with me early about this spirit that she was discerning. And I initially backed away from it, saying, no, honey, it could not be. But I've since learned that we as husbands need to receive the counsel that our wife gives us.
Well, wives, we are to be our husband's supporters. Now, support is one of those things that I didn't grow up knowing what to do about. I really didn't know what that meant or had any clue about how to do that. I prayed about it and asked God, what is it that, show me what my husband is doing that I need to show appreciation for. And it started out very awkward because I hadn't done it before. But it was like, he empties the garbage, say thank you for that. And so I began to thank him for those things. I'd say, thank you, honey, for taking the garbage out for me, for us in our house, when he would do things, little things around the house, things that I didn't notice before, I would thank him for it. And so a part of what I noticed is the more that I would thank him for it, the more that he would do. So I got really good about thanking him for a lot of things because it was like, this really works. So husbands need to be respected and honored. And this is not dependent upon his performance. So whether he's good at the thing or not, he still needs to be respected and honored. Because we can't change our husbands, and that's a misconception altogether all around. We can't change anybody. God does the changing. And so what we do, what I have learned to do, is anything that I see inside that's happening with my husband, I take it to God in prayer. I just take it right to the Father. God has given our husbands the go forth and conquer kind of spirit inside. And so as a man knows that his wife is supporting and standing behind him, when that happens, he's more willing to go out and do more great things, you know? And so, wives, criticism, let me tell you, criticism of our husbands can hinder them from going forth boldly as God directs. And we may think it's not. Sometimes we'll think it's just like, well, I'm just telling him the right way to do it. That's criticism, okay? Or he could do it better if he would just do it this way. That's criticism. And so what we need to do as wives is come undergird him with support and allow that authority that God has given to him, that he's placed in him, work together with us in decision-making. And then, wives, don't undermine our husbands with siding with the children or siding with other women and deciding that, you know, he's really not doing it the right way. Always for him, never against him.
These two roles illustrate the key to godly leadership in the home.
God intends for us to be the provider. And I think in the physical things and material things that we understand that to a certain degree, but also all that the kingdom living includes. We are the primary source of gospel teaching in our homes. So it's imperative that we lead the family in Bible studies, in prayer time. And it's the case in our family. We often have Bible studies that we include our 16-year-old son. And we gather and it may be just a discerning of what the sermon was on Sunday or Wednesday night or Tuesday night or whatever the case may be. But we take the lead in that, men, as being providers.
And wives, we are the administrators. Now, it talks about administration in Proverbs 31:13-27. I'm going to ask you to read that in your spare time. But most have heard about the Proverbs 31 wife. And what she does, she has been given skillful and godly administration. And so the Spirit is what we are guided by that's going to lead us into the right administration of the household. It has taken some growth for us because I was used to making my own money as a single woman and doing my own thing with my own provision. When we got married, the provision then became our provision. So a part of it is coming out of that mindset of thinking that I had to protect myself, because God's plan is what we're seeking for our home. His plan and only his plan is what will produce the prosperity in our home. So as we spend, as wives, spend time daily in prayer, and that means whatever time you're getting up and whatever you're doing, when you go to God in prayer daily, that is when you're going to get the word. He's going to instruct you regarding the prosperity of your home.
Choose one of your roles and share with each other what it means to you. Husband, reassuring, covering, leader, provider. Wife, helper, supporter, administrator. The Power of Synergism, Part 3.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
We ought to be an example of God's heart, guys. God's heart is always for reconciliation and restoration. We ought to serve our spouse and family with a humble spirit and a joyful heart. We ought to be quick and constant in forgiveness, regardless of the actions of others. Jesus is our example. He forgave before he was asked. And a very important point is we ought to be that healing instrument used by God in our homes. That was a revelation for me as I took this walk, realizing that I could lay hands on my family, whether it was a headache or whether it was a tummy ache or whatever the case may be, that I could lay hands and be that healing instrument that God said that I was and am. So I learned that process early in our marriage, that I could lay hands on my wife or my son and they was healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that was important for our family.
Oh, wives, we are a reflection of God's love. I love that part. Now, John 13:35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciple. We have opportunities to minister to God's love to our husbands daily within our homes. Caring for our husbands should be a joy. I love it. It's a joy. Now, not always, you know, because cooking and cleaning and mopping the floors, you know, you have to bring up some joy for that, especially if housekeeping isn't necessarily your, you know, thing that you like to do. Caring for our husbands and our families is a reflection of God's love. Now, forgiveness is the other part. Hoo-wee, forgiveness. It should be quick, and we should not keep a record of wrongs. Mm-mm. No. One of the things that I did early on in our marriage was I made a decision that I was going to already forgive my husband even before he did something, because I received a revelation that that's what Jesus did for us. So since that's what Jesus did for us, I needed to learn how to do that. Keeping record of wrongs is always one of the things that we have to overcome. We have to remember that we're doing this through Jesus. Our marriage is about giving Jesus the props that he needs, not our own. So we draw strength from the word of God, and that'll enable us to weather whatever the circumstances or whatever the storms that happen. We are ministering healing and wholeness where there is a need. My husband had a stroke a few years back. His personality changed, and that personality that I used to know wasn't there anymore. So there was some growth that happened within me because I wanted him to be the same. And he was very different. I remembered the vow that I had made in sickness and in health. And when he got sick, I remembered that. And it was just overwhelming love that I felt for my husband that I had to draw on from God to ensure that he knew that I was with him, that God was with him, and that he was never going to let him go. Because we have the power over life and death in our tongues. And we have to be able to always speak life and edify and uplift our husbands regardless of what they're saying or what they're doing. Because we are the ones who are a reflection of God's love. We need to always use words to nurture and to love and to never destroy.
Reflecting God's heart and love means loving unconditionally and always being quick to forgive.
We are the lover and champion. In 1 Corinthians 7:3-5, it goes as this. The husband should fulfill his marital duties to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. This scripture is very meaningful in our relationship, because early in our marriage, I was a new babe in Christ. I was in my first year of salvation, learning the word, studying the word. My wife had been saved for a number of years. She was insistent on having some intimacy, and I was just as insistent on not having it at all. So she broke out this scripture specifically to speak to me. And what I came to the conclusion that our wives need to be loved and cherished. And remember, they're sensitive to our motives. That what I was giving her that night was just the wrong motive, totally. And so we must constantly reassure them of our love, and not just in the physical kind of way. Action speaks louder than words. We need to continue to romance our wife and give them attention and communicate with them. Now, communication, my wife loves to communicate. She has way more words in her vocabulary than I do, and that's okay. But communication is two-way. You talk and you listen. I learned how to listen. I learned that when my wife starts speaking to me, that regardless of what was on the TV, what sports program was on, what game was on, or what newspaper I might be reading at the time, I had to put it down. I laid it aside and I would listen and hear my wife's heart when she spoke. So that's being a lover and a champion, is to be attentive to your wife's needs. Speaking of intimacy, we ought to clean up the temple. The word says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we need to keep it clean and fit. And we should do that anyway, but in this respect, to honor our wives. Honor your wife by being fit and clean mm-hmm. with your appearance. We ought to be a gentle and faithful lover. I've learned how to do that as we proceeded on in these lessons, putting her needs first, not all about me, not my selfish needs, but her needs first.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So wives, we are to be lovers and companions. I love that part. Now, Songs of Solomon, I love this. My lover is mine and I am his. Our first ministry is to our husbands. And sometimes we can get caught up in ministering at the church, doing ministry over here, and we're doing the women's thing, and we're doing the children's thing. And that's not our first ministry. Our first ministry is to our husbands. It is an honor to our husbands that we remain well kept. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that I learned early on in our marriage was that my husband wasn't really, he didn't hug a lot. In fact, his hugging was more like a football pat, like I'm running out with my uniform on a football field. Well, that's not what I wanted. I wanted a long, like, 2-minute hug? Could you give me a 2-minute hug? Anyway, so he wasn't used to that. I did something really unique. I put a mistletoe in the threshold between the kitchen and the living room. And if I caught him between that threshold, I had an opportunity to hug him and kiss him right there. Well, of course he caught on to that. And so he would jump over the threshold and that, like, but it was a lot of fun to do. And now, years later, he enjoys hugging me. And so hugging was a part of that. But a part of what we do with our husbands, we don't command it. We allow the Spirit to give us creative ideas. That worked for me. That might not be what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. But do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do to bring about this companionship that we're talking about in the Song of Solomon. We have to submit our flesh and our emotions to the Holy Spirit, to the control of the Holy Spirit. Because one of the things that we did early on, like in dating, when you're dating your spouse, you remember those days when you were dating? We were like, oh, I love football games. Yes, let's go to 2 or 3 times a week. We love it. We did all of that. Oh, even if your husband liked walks or he liked to do whatever, we were all involved when we were dating. Well, now that we're married, we still need to do that. We still need to take an interest in what our husbands enjoy. And that's a part of it. We have to let him know that we honor and respect him. And then we have to compliment him. You have to tell your husband, you don't want someone else complimenting before you have an opportunity to do so. So I always let my husband know that he dresses nice, and he really does. He dresses nice, he buys the best, he smells real good. And so it's always important. I have to treat him just like I did when we were dating. You know how you're all hugged up and you're all underneath each other? You couldn't even get any space between you. Why are you moving away? You should be moving closer. So a part of it is we have to treat our husband just that way. The other part of that is you have to ask God about the whole process of being your husband's physical lover. You know, the wife that he desires, God knows. And so you ask God, how am I to be the physical lover for my husband?
God designed marriage so that husband and wife can enjoy intimacy of spirit, soul, and body.
Guys, we ought to be an example of God's sovereignty. Webster says a controlling influence over our homes. So we ought to be that controlling influence over our homes. We ought to take a firm, uncompromising stand against sin. We hate the sin, but we love the sinner. We are responsible to call out, cast out sin in our families, make that correction, but always abiding in love, exhortation, encouragement, and edification of others. If we respect God's authority, then our authority will be respected.
Wives, we are a reflection of God's creativity. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, 7. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. So God has placed within us, wives, what we need that's unique to us, the talents and gifts that are perfect for the husband we have. So we were created for this particular husband. And so that's why we do not compare ourselves with others. We do not compare ourselves with others, but we allow God to develop within us that which we need in order to be for that one woman for our husbands. We have to know who we are in Christ first. And see, and that's the critical piece. So when we are trying to determine what we need to do for our husbands, we have to know who we are in Christ. We have to know our identity in Christ. And then the ministry that's going to flow through us from God is going to flow and minister to our husbands in just that right way, so that our husbands then are like excited to be around us because it's like we have a secret. Our secret is the Holy Spirit. Our talents and gifts are to complement and complete the same gifts and talents that's within us so that we are operating in harmony with one another. So I'm not always like, come and give me, give me, give me. That what's happening is there's like this whole flow going. He's giving because God is giving to him. He's giving to me. I'm giving to him. And so my whole point is to give, give, give. And God, and his whole point is to give, give, give. And so neither of us are missing out on anything because we're giving it one to another.
These two roles reflect the balance between the justice of God and His mercy.
We are to be the chief intercessor and warrior in our families. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we are that chief intercessor for our wife and our families. We are to have spirit-led discernment of enemy attacks in our homes. We are responsible for spiritual warfare on behalf of our families. We are that first line of defense. We are to take authority over the spirits of darkness that come against our homes. Whenever we have a Married for Life class or an event at our home, whatever it may be, once our guests have left the home, we pray. We pray for any spirits of darkness or not of God to flee, to go. And we do that on all occasions. Even to the point now that a UPS driver or a FedEx driver will deliver packages and come to our front porch and just hand off the packages. Once he leave the premises, I pray I pray a blessing upon him, and also pray for anything that's not of God to be gone.
Absolutely. And wives, we are to be intercessors and discerners. Let's look at Ephesians 6:18. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So as intercessors and discerners, we are to be the godly wives that are interceding for our husbands, our children, our grandchildren, all of them. Because this brings assurance of God's hand on our lives. And so a part of it is there's no fear of adversity or anything when we exercise our authority as wives over the enemy in the name of Jesus. A part of what we don't understand and grow up understanding probably is that we have a lot of power to pray for our marriage, that we should not allow the enemy to come in and just run, wreak havoc all over everything, that we can intercede and discern the Spirit and know that God is protecting us. We are to be our husband's chief intercessor. We have to be open to the direction of the Holy Spirit. That means during the day, you know, you may get an alert. You may go, oh, I sense something. The world may call it intuition. It is the Holy Spirit, okay? It's the Holy Spirit telling us your husband may be going through a tough time right now. Maybe he was in a meeting that was giving him a little rub. Maybe the house wasn't opened or ready in the way that it should be. As a realtor, he may experience a lot of different things. But when the Spirit alerts me to pray, I pray right then, or I'll text him and I'll say, praying for you right now, whatever you need. I'll text him a scripture. I'll send him a song. I've done those things to let him know to break up that spirit right then, that it cannot overtake my husband. So we need to be open to the direction of the Holy Spirit. And we need not fear the work of the enemy in our lives or our family, because the Holy Spirit is going to alert us to those attacks. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to develop his discernment within us and then clothe us with the wisdom of God.
Which of the roles will be the greatest challenge to you? Husband, example of God's heart, lover, champion, intercessor, warrior. Wife, reflection of God's love, intercessor, discerner, lover, companion. Share together about this for a few minutes. The Power of Synergism, Part 4.
And as a follow-up, men, we encourage you to read your favorite gospel in the light of what Jesus was to the church and did for the church. Compare this to your relationship with your wife.
And then wives, we're asking you to read your favorite gospel in light of the church's responses to Jesus, and then compare this to your relationship with your husband.
And remember, both husband and wife, to focus on your roles. Your responsibility to God, not your spouse's responsibility to you. Don't criticize your spouse. It's important. My wife spoke on that. Agree with God's word about and for your spouse, not Satan's counterfeit ideas, schemes, or deceptions. This lesson that we've just presented is about dual responsibility in marriage, not headship and submission.
Right.
So trust God to bring to pass his word about your marriage. Remember, we're all works in progress. We're under construction. God is not finished with us yet.
Amen.
Dear Father, your word says that marriage is a picture of Jesus' relationship with the church. Please help us, Lord. We know your plans are not only perfect, but wonderful and for our benefit.
Teach us as we walk through the process and grow in our own roles that will truly bring abundant life to our marriage.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Go to The Power of Sowing and Reaping, Part 1.